I'm walking around downtown St. Paul, and I'm playing a video game. Actually, I'm kind of in a video game. I'm John Moe. This is Future Tense from American Public Media. There is a boom going on right now in location-based games. That's where you use your cell phone to report your position to a network. You earn points or prizes based on the businesses that you go in or near. One of these games, Scavenger, just became widely available. And in this one, you perform challenges. So I can take a picture of this sandwich place I'm standing in front of with my phone. I can upload it, and that earned me 2 points. Now I have 2 points, so I got that going for me. Businesses like this because it's advertising. Game companies are betting that users will want to turn their lives into a game. Jesse Schell is on faculty at the Entertainment Technology Center at Carnegie Mellon University. I asked him why the boom is happening now.
Well, it's two things. One of them is we're having an explosion of technology. Suddenly, everybody's got a GPS in their pocket. We didn't used to have that. Well, how can we use those? What can we do with those? And at the same time, I think people have this hunger for reality. And you combine that hunger with how do I break through all this virtual stuff and connect to something real, combined with new technologies that sense us everywhere, people are going to try and figure it out. So I think that's what we're seeing.
When I play, say, Call of Duty or some other combat video game, I get this adrenaline rush that I maybe don't get in the rest of my life. How am I being gratified in location games?
Well, there's different games that offer different kinds of gratification. I think a big part of the location games is, hey, there's boring stuff you're going to do anyway. And if you're going to do it anyway, can we find ways to make it more interesting and more rewarding? One of the really fun things you see in Foursquare, it's like, sure, you go to this coffee shop all the time, big deal. But hey, it might turn out you go there more than anybody else. And if you're the one who goes there more than anybody else, you become the mayor of that place. And so now we take something that, you know, normally nobody would notice, and we can kind of call it out and kind of, you know, have a little fun with it.
And if you become a mayor, aside from the kind of comic potential of thinking of yourself as the mayor of a coffee shop, what do you get?
Some of the games, it's just purely status. It's just kind of a title, something you can kind of brag about and kind of have fun with. Others, what a lot of these companies in terms of monetizing are trying to do is connect in with these different places, so that maybe if you go to a 7-Eleven more than anybody else, or if you go there with a certain regularity, maybe they'll start to give you coupons.
Is this just another form of advertising?
I think so. I mean, some people say form follows function, but here in the 21st century, form follows funding. The big revolution in advertising in the 20th century was all about graphics and finding new ways to use imagery in order to kind of make you get connected to a brand. In the 21st century, it's going to be all about different ways you can interact in order to kind of connect with a brand more. So when you look at who's going to be spending, in the long run, who's going to be spending the most money on this stuff, it's going to be people who manage brands, people who want you to find new ways to connect with products.
Now, we probably should redefine what we think of as a video game in light of this. I mean, I'm kind of an old guy. I still think of video games as Space Invaders and Asteroids. And this isn't much like that. Do we have to go further? Do we have to rethink the concept of game? Is this a game that we're talking about?
Well, games are ancient, right? Human beings have been playing games for thousands and thousands of years.
Sure.
The only thing that's different is the way we're interacting with them electronically. And, you know, the first electronic games, you're right, were very screen-based. But that doesn't mean that every game has to be very screen-based. Historically, games weren't that way. What we're seeing now is, I think, something very natural. Just as, computing technology has found ways to kind of go into our whole lives. It used to be, you know, computers were just computers. Now there's a computer in your car. There's a computer in a doorknob. You go to the the urinal, there's a computer in there flushing the toilet for you. Same way games are penetrating in through every aspect of our lives as we move closer and closer to disposable technologies.
Well, that sounds kind of spooky. Games getting into every aspect of our lives. How big is this going to get?
I gave a talk recently where I refer to this, what's coming, as the game apocalypse. And the game apocalypse is the moment when every second of your life is part of the game. And we see some of it happening now. Some health insurance companies will give you a little pedometer. And if you walk far enough each day, you get discounts on your health insurance.
Talk me through my day in the post-game-pocalyptic world.
Sure. So you wake up in the morning and you go to brush your teeth, and your toothbrush has a sensor in it that can tell if you brush your teeth. Oral-B actually already has one of these sensors that measures how much you brush your teeth. And after you brush your teeth for 2 minutes, a little happy face comes on it. I think very soon we'll have ones that connect automatically to the Internet and can accumulate the number of points that you get for brushing your teeth regularly, because the toothpaste companies, the toothbrush companies, have a vested financial interest in wanting you to do that. Then you'll have your breakfast, you'll have your cereal box, and the box, when you tip it, has a little tilt sensor so it can tell how much cereal's come out, and it gives you points based on if you're, having cereal on a regular basis, because that's what they want to give you points for. They'll give you bonus points if you hit a button and make a recommendation to other people that they should get the cereal, and you'll get a coupon for that. There'll be incentive systems involved with your workplace, with your transportation, when you read books, when you watch television. So basically just everything we can detect. And that's what it's about, inexpensive sensors. Anything new that we can sense, we can make a game out of.
You're freaking me out a little bit. This sounds a little nervous-making.
On one level, it's a little freaky, but it's like, is there any reason for a toothbrush to be pretty? But have you noticed how pretty toothbrushes have gotten in the last 10 years? They're all organic and swirly, and they have like these rainbow colors in them. And if they can be pretty and like pleasant to use, well, why not make them fun too?
So it's a design element.
It is. Basically, if you have a choice, you can either use the toothbrush that doesn't give you any discount points and doesn't make you feel good about how well you've been brushing your teeth, or you can use the one that does all those things.
The grumpy old man reaction in all this is, my life is already hard. It's full of challenges. Why would I want to take on more?
The thing about this stuff is it sneaks up on you. You remember when people used to say, I'd never want one of those portable cell phones. People bothering me all the time.
I remember that about answering machines.
Yeah, right. The thing is, the world changes pretty quick.
And we're all heading towards game-pocalypse.
It's true, but one of the things to think about, if we get to the point where we're sensing every movie we've ever watched, every book we've ever read, like, you don't know what your grandparents did and read and watched, but your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, they're going to know. They're going to have a record of everything you've ever done. And in some ways, that's a little scary, but in some ways, it's sort of cool. You're immortalized in some way. And the part that I like to think about is it's possible that if all this stuff's being watched and monitored, maybe people will step up their behavior a little bit. Maybe they'll be like, you know what, maybe I should be reading better books and watching more enlightening movies, and maybe I should be accomplishing more if people are going to be observing this and watching it and remembering it. So it's possible this may be a force that makes us into better people.
Yeah, I wonder how my great-grandchildren will feel about my comments on the last episode of Glee. You said that games are infiltrating all these parts of our lives because of disposable technology. What's the connection between games and disposable technology?
Oh, well, the idea is, like, it used to be we think of computers as things that are expensive, and you got to be very careful which ones you pick and which ones you buy, and part of that limits where they can go. But as technology gets cheaper and cheaper and cheaper, we're going to see it integrated into more parts of our lives. When we get to the point where every soda can, every cereal box, every Scotch tape dispenser can automatically be online and automatically be sensing how much you're using it, it opens up all kinds of new ways we can kind of interact with things.
Chip under your skin?
I think some of that's coming, but again, that's like a big change, and then you got to keep upgrading a chip under your skin.
Oh, right.
I think we'll have some of that. But I think more to the point is you won't need a chip under your skin because you'll be surrounded by hundreds and hundreds of chips. They'll be everywhere in every product you use.
Okay, so that's the future. Jesse Schell is on the faculty of the Entertainment Technology Center at Carnegie Mellon University. He's the author of The Art of Game Design, A Book of Lenses. Jesse, thanks.
Hey, thank you.
Future Tense is produced by Larissa Anderson. I'm John Moe.
American Public Media.